Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. We pray for our country as the turmoil is continuously amounting between political philosophies. Of course, the radical, liberal, globalist, socialistic, and abortion-loving Democratic Party philosophy is absolutely disastrous for freedom-loving Americans and our constitutional republic. The radical Democratic Party agenda is based on the Antichrist system found in the Word of God. The war for the mind is on. Jesus tells the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Where is the power of the church in America today, my friends? The church has lost its power because it has quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist voices are drowning out the voices of the gospel, the only source of all freedom and liberty. You may argue the church has not lost its power, but I challenge you, if the American churches had the power of heaven upon them, the gospel, prayer and the Bible would still be taught and practiced in the classrooms of America's public schools, and we would not be witnessing this political destruction of our electoral process. The atrocious sins of America are due to a lukewarm church because they have lost their spiritual power. They have quenched the power of the Holy Spirit. Balaam is still alive and well, placing many stumbling blocks before us, upon which the churches have blindly fallen. Read about the false prophet Balaam in the book of Numbers, starting at chapter 22, and read the warnings to the churches in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation of Balaam's devices. Preachers, Christians, we need to be imploring the help of heaven in these latter days instead of gleefully desiring a stimulus check from the feckless demagogues that hold office in our morally and financially bankrupt governments around the country. Who are these feckless demagogues? They are the useless politicians that are trying to play God. Another stumbling block Balaam put out there is the hundreds of perverted and corrupt English Bible versions that have caused nothing but confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Many of these versions have completely removed the word hell from the Old Testament, including Lucifer's name. Wow, I wonder who was behind that. What benefit is it to leave the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament text instead of translating it for the reader? That is why this series on the messenger is so important for the God-fearing Christians out there who are so perplexed by the course of our nation. The nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Not Sheol, hell. See Psalm 9:17 in the King James Bible. Before the Lord's return, let's get our power back and have a real revival of holiness, truth, and biblical understanding. If my people, which are called by my name, who are God's people that are called by his name? Well, you have the Jews, were God's people in the Old Testament, and Christians are God's people in the New Testament. So, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The best present we could ask for in this Christmas season is for God to heal our land, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, heal us from all disease, sickness, and this engineered pandemic. But also, Lord, more importantly, heal us from our moral and financial bankruptcy. Let's get inoculated with the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a happy new year with your family and friends. The Messenger, Part 21.
But it's a cleansing. He cleanses the sanctify. It says, and he, Christ, might sanctify, cleanse, and cleanse it, sanctify, make it holy with the washing of water by the word of God. Getting into God's word, reading it, and heeding it, obeying it, does a cleansing. It does sanctification in your life. And that is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit should lead you to want to read God's Word and to make changes in your life so you conform with the image of Christ. What is one thing I remember in Dr. Dixon's prayers that always stood out to me? When Dr. Dixon prayed, especially when he would pray before he would preach, he would always, not always, but a number of times would always say, God, no man could teach you. I can't say it for verbatim, so I'm going to paraphrase it, but he would say that if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, He could teach no man. He could teach no man. And for you to learn without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't learn from him. You wouldn't gain anything. So it was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in this room right now, taking my words that I'm delivering out from as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you as a temple of the Holy Spirit are receiving those words. And how you receive it and apply it to your life is the sanctification process and how you learn. And so it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to learn. And he was always specific in saying that in his prayers, that we could teach no man the word of God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be involved. Had to teach Dr. Dixon, had to move him to enlighten him, open his eyes. And then the Holy Spirit has to open your eyes to receive it. Because I have sat in and I have preached myself and I have watched people, the lights aren't on. They're not listening. And I'm not inferring to anybody in this crowd in this room right now. No finger pointing. But I have seen it, that they're in la-la land. Their ear gate is not open. And they're off wandering in their minds somewhere else, and they're not listening. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them. And so that's an important part of the sanctification, cleansing the church. And a washing in the blood of the Lamb, we taught this several months ago. Only the white life wins the white robe. Our sins are as scarlet, but they are made as white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. We read that here in Revelation 7:14. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How many have spilled grape juice on a white shirt? Okay. You can't get that out, right? You can't get that color out. It's almost impossible. That shirt color will never be the brilliant white. But and then getting blood on a shirt? But here, those who will receive the white robes have been, their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the saints will receive white robes, but they will have laid their lives down for Christ. They would and many through the ages had their blood shed for Christ and for the gospel's sake, and so their robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, being made holy by the Holy Ghost. So the gospel of God that was offered to the Gentiles through the apostles, they are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. There's a cleansing process. See, what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? And seeing this, doing this whole series on the Holy Spirit helps me see the judgment seat of Christ is not going to go back to the work of Christ on the cross and you getting saved. It has everything to do with you allowing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. What did you do as a vessel of God and allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life? It's how we resolve the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives will be the issue that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it's called the judgment seat. It's You know, these preachers who say, well, it's a bema seat, it's going to be a reward ceremony. You're going to stand on a platform, and some are going to stand higher up on the platform because they're going to get a bigger medal. That's hogwash. There's punishment at that judgment seat and rewards. Some will be punished, some will be rewarded. It's take up the cross and follow me. Follow, being a disciple, follow me. Those who don't take up their cross, they're going to be judged. So the issue is allowing this sanctification process to take place in your life. That's sanctification. That's a progressive salvation. That's something that's taking place from the minute you got saved to the day your life terminates, your physical life terminates. That's the sanctification process. And so we have to allow Christ to do, allow Christ, we have to be humble. We have to allow the work of the Holy Spirit and not grieve the Holy Spirit, not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, we see this twofold salvation in Jesus cleansing the temple of the money changers. Turn your Bible, if you were in chapter 3, just go back one chapter to chapter 2. This is right after the marriage of Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle of turning the water into wine. And this was the first Passover. And we see here at verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, a small cords, okay, he just made a small kind of whip, but of cords, it was small cords, it was nothing major, it wouldn't hurt anybody. He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And verse 17 tells us, the disciples learned this and remembered this years later when the Spirit of God fell upon them. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. This was a prophecy from King David, and in Psalm 69, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up, that Jesus had a zeal, had a burden for the house of God, and he threw things out that shouldn't have been there. Now, what's interesting, and maybe you don't know this, but I'm thinking most of you do, is Jesus did this twice. Twice. Cleansing. This is at the beginning of his ministry. And then just before he was crucified, 3 years later, he did it again in Matthew chapter 21. Now, you may not have realized that, but you are just learning that today. I remember I learned that at some point in time, that hit home. Jesus did that twice. The time in John is at the beginning of the ministry, but he went into the temple and threw the money changers out. A twofold cleansing. A twofold cleansing. We see that here in Matthew 21, verse 12. Turn your Bibles there. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And this is just before the Passover supper. You have the I think it's the Olivet Discourse. And then in chapter 26, you have the final Passover, the last Passover. So Jesus did this a second time. A twofold cleansing. What's interesting is all those money changers came back into the temple after he cleaned them out the first time, because they didn't heed his warning. So the money changers went back into the temple. It speaks of a two-part cleansing. You are cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you are cleansed by the Holy Spirit. The blood of Christ does a justification and a sanctification, and we'll see that here in a little bit. And the Holy Spirit does a justification and a sanctification. Also, the Holy Spirit does. And we learned that again, speaking of Dr. Dixon, when he taught us a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, he taught us of two justifications in the Bible. Look at Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Jesus washing the feet of the disciples after the last Passover is a prime example of this continuous washing of the feet which get dirty walking the dusty roads of the world. So Jesus says here in verse 4, 13:4, he riseth from supper. This is the last supper. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh to him Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Okay? He's saying, you don't understand all that's going on right now, Peter. Okay? You don't have the answers right now. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, this is key, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What? One of his own disciples who believed was baptized, and Jesus said, thou hast no part with me? Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not, there's that word save, needeth not except, that word save there means except to wash his feet. He that is washed, that means Peter has already been totally washed, needeth not except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. There's Jesus right there. Put in your Bible, take a pen. Jesus is declaring himself God. right there. Jesus declares himself deity. Jesus is God. Because they call him Lord, and he says, so I am. Okay, the deification of the Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, go back to verse 10. He that is washed, Peter was baptized. Did the water wash him? Did the water wash him in the baptism? No, the blood of Christ washed him. The water of baptism, remember, is a picture of the blood of Christ washing. So the blood, the baptism is pictorially a washing. It doesn't literally wash like the Catholics would teach, or those who believe in baptismal regeneration, who believe you have to get saved, in order to be saved, you have to be baptized. No, we believe the water is a bath in a sense, but it's a pictorial bath of a washing in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's just pictorial of what had happened when you received Christ. And so Peter was washed from head to toe. But it speaks of a second washing. Because we have to be washed by the Holy Spirit. We have to be cleansed, because what happens when you walk in sandals all day long? Your feet get dirty, right? In those days, they walked in sandals all the time. It was customary to go into a home, and before you sat down to eat, the guest, the host, would provide water for the washing of your feet. Because just as we go to somebody's house and eat, we wash our hands before we eat. Here in those days, they washed their feet before they ate because their feet were dirty. You and I are in the world, walking in the world. We're not of the world. We've been washed by the blood of Christ. But what happens? Our spiritual feet, in a sense, get dirty. We get dirty from the world, and we need that cleansing by the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.